All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. First of all, our shir this morning is dedicated by Shoshi and Zevi Daniel and Yael and Shlomo Kanner, Le'ilui Nishmas Rabbi Fal and Rabbi Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, and Shamo have an aliyah and the families in Nechama. Shkoyach, thank you for the sponsorship. So let's go right there. We have a beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. We're starting, today's daf is Nun Tes 59, and we are starting on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. We are starting six lines down from the top, Reb Chiya Bar Abba. So we'll say, remember again, just to understand the context here, we spoke about yesterday, the episode where, where was this? Reish Lakish went to the city of Batsra, and again he delivered a series of halachic rulings based on certain understandings that he had about the city, as well as about other circumstances that were happening. He came back before Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan ordered him back to Batsra in order that he should reverse his rulings. So we'll say, now that we got started on that topic a little bit, the Gemara is going to tell another story. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Ikla le Gavla. So we'll say, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba went to the city of Gavla. What did he see when he went to Gavla? Chaza benos Yisrael de Ma'abron me'ovdei kochavim. He saw that there were Jewish women who were pregnant by Akum, who were pregnant by Gentiles, but again, of the Avodah Zarah, but Shemalu Velo Tavlu. And I both say this is actually quite interesting. Shemalu Velo Tavlu means that they were individuals who had bris milah, but did not go to the mikvah. So I both say, so again, in this circumstance over here, what it sounds like over here is that they were in the process of conversion, right? In some type of conversion, some type of quasi-conversion, but yet did not go ahead and complete the process. So that's number one. He saw three things. Next, Chazachamra, Demozgu Ovdei Kochavim Vishasu. He saw that Vishasu Yisrael. He saw that there was wine which was diluted by an akum that the Jews were drinking. So also remember again, this is from yesterday's sugya. So in yesterday's sugya, we spoke about the idea that what happens if an akum pours the water into the wine to dilute the wine. Remember, that was the sugya of Kocho, where the wine is being moved, the wine is being agitated, not through the direct contact, meaning the paradigmatic case of Yayin Esech is where the Akum himself is moving the wine. Kocho is where the wine is moving, the wine is being agitated through the Akum's force, but not directly by the Akum himself. So that's why that's the case of where you pour the water into the wine obviously is moving, but it's not the direct koach of the Akum. So he saw over here that in Gavla, the Akum was diluting the wine, and the Jews were drinking that wine. Next, Chaza Turmisa, Dishalkilu Ovdei Kochavim Va'achli Yisrael. Third thing is Yisrael Turmisa. We'll say, what's Turmisa? So Turmisa are beans, lentils, but not just any kind of beans, beans that ultimately need to be cooked for a very long time in order to make them edible. So he saw that they were going ahead and the Akum, the Gentiles, were cooking the Turmisa and the Yisrael were eating it. And we'll say, so what happens? V'lo amar lehu v'lo midi. Reb Chiya bar Abba didn't say anything to the residents. Obviously, he saw three things, Rabbosai, which are seemingly problematic, but yet he did not say anything to the residents. So what happens? Also, the Kameh, Rabbi Yochanan, so he came back before Rabbi Yochanan, Amarle, so Rabbi Yochanan said to him, so again, see, Reb Chiya tells all of this to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, we've got some major problems. Say, so go back, and announce the following. Bahachreis al b'neihem, sheim mamzerin. Make an announcement that the children of that town, meaning the children of these unions between the Jewish women and the Akum, are mamzerim. That the children between from a Gentile and a Jew are mamzerim. Again, we'll discuss each of these. Va'al yenon mishum yayin nesach, and that their wine is usher because of yayin nesach. Va'al turmuson mishum bishule ovdei kochavim, and that their turmuson, those beans, those lentils, are also because of Bishul Akum. Remember again, we spoke about this sugya earlier. Bishul Akum means any food that is cooked by a non-Jew. So again, Bishul Akum. So Gemara says, why all of this? Well, actually, Mishum She'inon B'nei Torah. Ultimately, again, because the residents of Gavla are not B'nei Torah. Now, both say, so look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Lefi She'inon B'nei Torah, Aturmisin koi. So in Rashi's understanding is that last phrase, Mishum She'inon B'nei Torah, is going on the Turmisin. Nothing to do ultimately again with the Mamzerus or with the Yayin Nesach, but the Turmisin are going to be Aser because they're not B'nei Torah. Rashi says, De'i Hein B'nei Torah, Sharikid Mefarshin, because we'll say, we will see that in the Iker Adin, the Turmisin, these beans should really be permitted for consumption. The only reason we are Asering it ultimately again is because the people of Gavla are not B'nei Torah. Turmos Einon Lecha. Okay, so we'll see the Turmosin. We'll say, just interesting, the Marsha comments on this. The Marsha says, Einon B'nei Torah actually goes on all this. What does it mean, Einon B'nei Torah? What does that mean? So because they're not B'nei Torah, we're gonna render Halacha in a certain way. So we'll say that the Marsha understands, and others understand this as well, that Einon B'nei Torah means they don't ask Shilas. They don't ask Shilas, that sometimes people assume they know the right thing to do, even in matters in which they are generally unknowledgeable, and that's how we get ourselves into trouble. All of us have to ask Shilas about different things. Einan B'nei Torah means they don't ask Shilas in situations which they clearly do not have all of the requisite information. So because of that, ultimately, again, they get themselves into dramatic trouble. So the Gemara will say, so now we're going to go ahead and analyze each of these ideas. So number one, so we'll say issue number one was that halacha lemaisa, again, the Jewish women were marrying akums, and therefore again, Rabbi Yochanan Paskins, their children are mamzerim. Why, Rabbi Yochanan? So Rabbi Yochanan Tame. So we'll say, remember again, this is Rabbi Yochanan, ultimately, this is Rabbi Yochanan who goes according to his reasoning. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, li'olam eino ger, ad sheyimo v'yitbo. So we'll say, so issue number one is that the halacha of gerus is that a person is only a ger after there is mila and tevila. So we'll say, so this is how we paskin halacha lemaisa. The truth is, remember, if you remember again from earlier Masechtas, there's actually another piece to gerus, which is what? Which is karban. Karban. Really, me'ikra adin, gerus is mila, tevila, karban. Where do we know that from? We learn the post. Remember again, much of the halachos of gerus are learned out two primary sources. Number one, of course, is Rus. We learn a lot about the process of conversion, ultimately from Rus. But in terms of the actual, we'll call it prerequisites, behavioral prerequisites of Mila Tvila, we learn from Har Sinai. When the Jews received the Torah, before at Sinaitic revelation, there was a gerus. There was a mass conversion. That gerus consisted of Mila Tvila and Karban. So what do we do about carbon today? So obviously the fact that we can't bring carbonos, so we do gerus without carbon. But I will say any person who is a ger has to make sure that he reminds himself in his messianic ledger that when Mashiach comes, he's going to have to bring a carbon. Ultimately, again, for his gerus, the same rabbis say that many of us are going to have to bring carbonos for a variety of different things. I was accidentally mechal Shabbos, right? I accidentally went ahead and did a variety of different averos unintentionally. There's carbonic liability. So therefore, I will say again, I'm just pointing out that we say that really gerus is mila and tevila, but it's really mila, tevila, carbon. So the Gemara says, I'll just tell you, by the way, just as an aside, there's so many interesting things on these sugyas. You know, an interesting shaila comes up in halacha about what happens if someone dies. Let's say someone's in the process of conversion. They've had mila, they haven't yet had tevila, and they die. Can you bury them in a Jewish cemetery or not? So again, it's an incredible discussion amongst the poskim as to essentially what is the status of someone mid-conversion process. Now, mid-conversion process doesn't mean somebody studying for conversion. Somebody studies for conversion and they die before they convert, then they're not Jewish. This, in this case over here, a person has mamish begun the behaviors, right, has done the first step of mila. Again, a machlokus amongst the poskim. In any event, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Eino ger achimo v'yitbo. So a person is only a ger after he does mila and tevila. V'chevon de lo tavol. Now, in this case over here in Gavlo, so what happens? V'chevon de lo tavol. Oved kochavimu. So we'll say, so apparently, what was happening over here in Gavlo is that these men, these akums, so apparently were undergoing some type of conversion process. Something was happening here in which they decided to have bris mila, but they did not cement or finalize the conversion with tevila in a mikvah. So we'll say, so what's the status of someone who has mila but doesn't have tevila? So Rabbi Yochanan says, you're an akum. You're not Jewish, meaning bris mila by itself does not make you Jewish. Therefore, again, he's an akum. Watch this. So we'll say, so that's piece number one. Ovid Kochavim Ve'eved Haba'a Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. Now, we'll see, remember again, there is this very dramatic shita. Here the Gemara is attributing it to Rabbi Yochanan. Elsewhere in Shas, we attribute it to Rabbi Akiva, that ultimately, again, any illegal relationship goes ahead and produces a mamzer. So therefore, because the relations between Ovid Kochavim and a Jew ultimately are prohibited, therefore that union will create a mamzer. Now we know, halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin that way. Halacha lemaisa, we paskin that mamzerus is only created through a union punishable by misa, by kares, something that is punishable by a death penalty. Incest, adultery, those are unions which create mamzerus. A lav does not create mamzerus. So if a kohen were to go ahead and marry a grusha, so that does not create mamzerus. An akum has a child with a Jewish woman, that does not create mamzerus. Again, there might be other status issues with these particular children, but it's not an issue of mamzerus. Rabbi Yochanan, however, holds, Rabbi Yochanan has the extreme shita, that essentially any prohibited relationship results in mamzerus. Therefore, I guess I'll say there are two things happening over here. Number one, you're not Jewish until you have Mila and Tvila. Therefore, these guys in Gavla, maybe they have good intentions that they had Bris Mila, but because there's no Tvila and Mikva, they're not Jewish. That's number one. Couple that with the fact that his shita is that any illegal relationship produces mamzerus. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says to Abchiya bar Abba, go back to Gavla and announce that unfortunately, the children from these prohibited unions are mamzerim. That's number one. Number two, the gazer al yena mishum yayin esech, and he said about their wine that it's also because of yayin esech. Now, also, now understand, that is a very, very, very dramatic statement. Because remember, if you make it yayin esech, then what? Then the wine is aser bishtia and aser ba'ano. So, meaning, obviously, you can't drink it, but now you cannot drink it. You also can't get any benefit from it. Now, Bosai, now understand what's happening over here. We just did this sugya yesterday. Remember again, we did halacha lebais also. What's the halacha with kocho? What's the halacha with kocho? So remember, it depends. What does it depend on? If it's kocho bekavana or kocho shelo bekavana. If it's kocho shelo bekavana, then what? Then the wine is mamish mutter. If it's kocho bekavana, which means Rabbi Bosai, that Ovid Kochavim, when we say kavana, means he has intention for what he's doing, which means he's actively diluting the wine. So if it's kocho bekavana, so we paskin aser b'shtia, but mutter ba'ano. Rabbi Yochanan is telling him, Chaber Ava, go back and tell them that their wine is aser ba'ano. What's the pshat? So the Gemara says, Mishum leich leich amrina lenazira, sichor sichor lekarma lo sikrav. So I say, so listen to this, because remember, again, this goes back to the greater discussion here. So leich leich amrina lenazira, which means what? Go ahead and get out of here, right? Go ahead and we tell the Nazir to get out of the vineyard. Leich leich amrina lenazira, which means we tell the Nazir, go away from the vineyard, go away from the vineyard, sichar, sichar the karma, go around the vineyard, which also means that the nazir, as we mentioned yesterday, there is nothing wrong with a nazir walking through a vineyard. There's nothing wrong with a nazir, right, sitting next to a bowl of grapes. But what we say to the nazir is that practically speaking, it's a bad idea for you to be around things which are prohibited. Therefore, I will say, apparently, this goes to the fact that in Gavla, they are obviously lax with certain levels of religious observance. They were obviously lax in certain areas of halacha. And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan felt that it was necessary for certain chumras there. The chumras were there also in order to bolster the halachic observance of the people of the town. And therefore there was a concern that if we're not machmir over here with this wine, which was agitated by the akum through his koach, that they may come to be lax in other areas. So it's a chumrah. Tell them that wine is should like yayin esach. We'll say the last thing. Va'al term shabosei ra'nun tes amadala 59a. Fifth wide line. Va'al termesin. Mishum b'shili ovdei kochavim. We'll say, listen to this. Now what about the lentils? So remember again, the lentils are going to be usher because of bishul akum. So remember again, these lentils are not consumed raw. Therefore, again, yeah, non-Jews, right? Akum. Remember, we'll say, as opposed to yayin nesach. I want to just point out this distinction. As opposed to yayin nesach, which was originally a din by an akum, right? It was a din by an akum, by an oved avodah zarah. If let's say you are a ben noach, so again, the initial decree of Yayin Nesech was not a din by a stam ben noach, by a Gentile monotheist. It was a din ultimately, again, by ovdei kochavim. Why? Because again, it has to do with consecrating or using that wine for some type of idolatrous libation. That's different than Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum, although we call it Bishul Akum, it's really what? It's really Bishul Nachri. The Gzeira was against food which was cooked by a non-Jew. We'll say, what was the logic behind that? Remember again, we did this sugya. The logic behind that was Gzeira Mishum Chasnus. That was about avoiding intermarriage, right? That was about the fact that we don't really want Jews and Gentile breaking bread together, sharing meals together, out of a fear that that leads to intermarriage. So that was a din ultimately, again, by Goyim, by Gentiles in general. Just pointing out that distinction. So next, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Chiya, go back to Gavlo. Tell them that the Tormis Sinner Aser, Mishum, Bishuli Ovdei Kochavim. Now remember again, there was a modifier on that statement. Lefi She'inan B'nei Torah. Why? Because the people of Gavlo are not B'nei Torah. So what says the Gemara? Taiman De'inan B'nei Torah. So what you're telling me is, the reason the Tormis Sinner are Aser is because the people are not B'nei Torah. Okay, ha b'nei Torah shari. So what you're telling me is that if the people of Gavla were b'nei Torah, then what? Then the Torah sin would be mutter. But 1 second, v'hamarav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, amarav kol she'ne'achal kimo shehu chai, in bo mishum bishuli ovdei kochavim. So we'll say, but 1 second. But we learned earlier, anything that's consumed raw is not subject to the laws of Bishul Akum. So we'll say, so if an Akum makes you a baked apple, right? That is not an issue of Bishul Akum. Why? Because the apple can be consumed raw. Any food which can be and is in fact consumed raw is not subject to Bishul Akum. So let's analyze this. So you're telling me, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Kebar Abba, go back to Gavla, announce that what? Announce that the Tormasin are Aser Mishum Bishuli Akum. Why? Because they're not B'nai Torah. So what you're telling me is, this is like a penalty against the people of Gavla. So if they were B'nai Torah, the Tormasin would be Mutter. How could the termasin be mutter? A termasin avosai could only be eaten what? Cooked. Right? It's 50-50. Right? Could only be eaten cooked. Right? So avosai, so therefore, again, because they can only be eaten cooked, then what? Then lemaisa, they are subject to Bishul Akum. So even if the people of Gavla ultimately would be B'nai Torah, it would appear that eating termasin cooked by an Akum should be Aser. So what do you mean it's only Aser because you're not B'nai Torah? To which the Gemara says, so Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan kiach lishna svirle. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan holds of the following lashon, the following idea. What does Rabbi Yochanan hold? The Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Amar Rav Kol she'in the ola al shulchan melachim lelafes bo asapas ein bo mishum bishuli ovdei kochavim. So we'll say, listen to this. Now this in and of itself is a fascinating statement, which is, so Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok says the name of Rav. Any food that is not ola al shulchan melachim and used as a condiment for bread. They both say, so I'm just going to point something out to you, which we're not really going to get too focused on now. The question about this state, we've seen this statement before. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is as follows. Bishul Akum essentially only applies to important foods. Important foods. What's the definition of important foods? A food that would be served on the table of royalty. Meaning, when we say royalty, we mean chashev people eat it. Only a food that chashev people eat, that important people eat. But if it wouldn't show up, you know, on your dinner table, when you're serving a meal to important people, then the ma'aseh again, it is not subject to Bishul Akum. Now, I will say, now we've seen that concept many times before. We did this like earlier. What's interesting about this is as follows. That second statement of lelafes bo es apas, and used as a condiment to bread. So we'll say, there's a machlokas amongst the poskim. Is that a separate statement, or is that just a continued modifying statement? In other words, do I need both? That it's ola al shulchan malachim, and it's something normally eaten with bread? Or what we're saying is that it's all one phrase. Ola al shulchan malachim, it ultimately goes on the table of the kings and used as a condiment for bread. So again, you'll just keep that in mind. But for our purposes today, Avosai, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. Bishul Akum, see, there are two pieces. Number one, Bishul Akum applies to food which can only be eaten cooked. Any food which could be consumed in its raw state, the laws of Bishul Akum do not apply. That's piece number one. Furthermore, Bishul Akum only applies to foods which are important. What is the definition of importance? That's what's called Ola Shulcha Melachim, that royalty would eat it, that important people would serve it, at an important Su'uda. Therefore, again, says the Gemara, Kol She'en Ola Shulcha Melachim Lafiz Boaz Hapas, Ein Bo Mishum Bishuli of the Chamsra. We'll say, watch this. So what's Turmesin? We'll say, Turmesin are beans. Beans was not considered to be a chashav amaychal. It wasn't considered to be anything chashav. It wasn't ola al shulcha malachim. Because it's not ola al shulcha malachim, therefore what? It's not subject to the laws of Bishul Akum. So me'ikar adin, the people of Gavla, were not doing anything wrong by eating the turmesin cooked by the Akum. Yet, despite that, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, go back and tell them that the turmesin are asr. Why? Lefi she'inan b'nei Torah. This was a penalty to their generally lax halachic behaviors. Their generally lax approach to observance of halacha. Rabbi Yochanan therefore felt it was important to impose certain strictures in this town in order to ensure that they get their halachic act together. Taima de'inan b'nei Torah. So the reason ultimately why the turmesin will be aser ultimately again in Gavla is because they're not b'nei Torah. Ha b'nei Torah, shari. But ultimately, again, had they been b'nei Torah, in fact, again, the turmesin would have been mutter. So these are the three rulings that Rabbi Yochanan delivered for Gavla. Number one, that the children from the unions of the Jewish women with the Akums were mamzerim. That's Rabbi Yochanan the Shitaso, even though they had a mila, they didn't have tevila, therefore they're not Jewish. Rabbi Yochanan holds that any illegal union produces mamzerim. That's number one. Number two, their yayin ultimately, again, was Mishum Yayin Nesach, and again, that was a Chumrah, Lech Lech Amrina L'Nazira, that was a Chumrah, ultimately because of generally lax observance. And number three, Turmesin cooked by an Akum are Asr. Even though Me'ikra Din, Rebbe said, you could eat Turmesin cooked by an Akum because even though it's not Nechachal, even though it's not cooked raw, but it's Ina Ola Shulcha Malachim, ultimately, again, it's not served in it, but yet nevertheless, because Ina B'nei Torah, because of their lax halachic observance, he was Machner. So we'll say, just Halacha L'maisa by Bishul Akum, we did this already, but just to review, so Halacha L'maisa, food is only subject to Bishul Akum if it conforms to both of these, of those criteria. Number one, it has to be something that is not eaten raw, something that is not eaten raw. And number two, something that is olal shulchan malachim, something that is in a quote-unquote an important food. If the food item does not conform to one, at least one of those two criteria, it is not subject to the laws of Bishul Akum. So therefore, if the food is consumed raw, or the food is not considered to be chashiv, ultimately, again, not subject to the laws of Bishul Akum. Good. We'll say Vayter. So the Gemara says as follows. It's an interesting case. Listen to this. Can I have an Ovid Kochavim carry my grapes to the press? Okay, so we've already established, Rabosai, that wine is only subject to Bishul Akum to Yayin Esach when? Good. Rav Huna. Right, where Rav Huna says only when it accumulates enough in the press that it begins to swish back and forth. That was Rav Huna. So the question now is, can I go ahead and have an Akum carry my grapes to the press? So says the Gemara, Rabosai, now understand, what is it that we're concerned about? So you'll see in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Ma'ashulach anavim lagat, amr luhu aser. Tasser, you shouldn't have an Akum even carry your grapes to the press. Why? Mishum lech lech amrina l'nazira, schor sechor l'karma. Because again, Rabosai, apparently, it's just the gzera. It keeps things easier. It's one more protective fence around the prohibition, ultimately, of Yayin Nesach. So says the Gemara, Rav Yemer, Rav Kahana. So Rav Yemer says, Rav Kahana, is that really true? Is that really true that it's Asar? But 1 second, look at the following braisa. Ovid Kochavim Shehevi Anovim Legat Besalim. Osaifin Ovid Kochavim went ahead and indeed brought grapes to the press in baskets. Ubid Durdurin, or Osaif Durdurin Rashi says, Tab Rashi Nun Tesum Beis, Durdurin, or Gigios Ketanos, small jugs. Afa Pi Shayain Mizalif Alehen Mutter. Now from this you begin to see what the issue is. What is the issue with having an Akum bring grapes to the press? What's the issue over here? So as I said, the issue is that the grapes already begin to ooze already before they get to the press. So the concern ultimately is that what? that Lamaisa, the Akum is not just handling grapes, but he's handling grape juice. Now remember again, Me'ikar Adin, that still doesn't matter. Right? That still doesn't matter. Because why? As we just said before, we passed it like Rav Huna, that the wine itself is only subject, or the grape juice itself is only subject to Yayin Nasech when it begins to flow back and forth in the press. But again, there's an issue of Akum contact, ultimately again, with the juice. Therefore, Rav Kahana says, better not to do it. Again, better not to do it. And that's what I will say. Whenever you see that phrase of Lech Lech Amrina Lenazira, Sechar Sechar, Sechar Sechar, the Kahana will say, is like code word for Gzera. It's a protective fence. Just like we tell the Nazir, go around the vineyard, don't walk through it. So this is a protective fence. So now the Gemara says, really? I don't understand. I have a brisa that says over here that an Oved Kochavim who brought the grapes to the press, Besalin, in baskets, or bedurdarin, in small receptacles, small utensils, afapi shayayin mezalef alein mutter. Even though what? There is juice oozing out from the grapes, it's all mutter. So we'll say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? You see that the Akum is bringing the grapes ultimately to the press. Rav Kahana, how can you say it's usser when we have a brisa that indicates that in fact it seems to be mutter? To which Rav Kahana responds, Amr lei, hevi kamrit, ana lecha tchila kamina. So I'll say, if Kahana says, no, you're asking me from the wrong case. We'll say, what's the case over here? The case of the Braisa is, Oved Kochavim Shehevi Anavim. Which I will say means what? Means what? He did it already. Okay. So if the Oved Kochavim did it already, he already brought the grapes, Se'ena Chinami again, ultimately is going to be mutter. I got it. I mean, the ex post facto, no one is going to say that the grapes or the juice is prohibited. Rav Kahana is saying, I'm telling you, Lechatchila. I'm saying again, if you're asking me the Shaila, before you see both sides, people usually ask Shailas in one of two ways, right? Either Lifnei HaMaisa or Achara HaMaisa, right? And again, often the halacha is different if you're asking before you act, right? Or after you act. Rav Kahana says, we're having a discussion, a pre-actional conversation. So in the pre-actional conversation, I'm going to tell you, don't have the Akum transport the grapes. You're asking me now, after the Akum transported the grapes, I'm going to tell you, it's fine. Okay, Ein Achinami, absolutely fine. But if possible, Lechatchila, better to avoid it. So I'll say, how do we pass him over here? Now understand, by the way, this actually is a major issue, Bosai, because this is talking about your workforce. Again, remember, if you are a vintner and you're going out and you're making wine, the schlepping of the grapes is a big to-do. So the nature of your workforce, the tzura of your workforce, says Rabbi Yisachar, so also how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Shulchan Aruch is in Hilchos Yayin Nesach Yerodea, Kuf Chaf Hei Vav, Oved Kochavim, Shehevi Anavim Besalam Bedardurim, Vizarko Lagat, Sheish Bo Yayin Daruch, Mutter B'dievet. So let's say ultimately again, so therefore Shulchan Aruch paskins, if an Oved Kochavim brought the grapes, dumped them into the vat, It's mutter. Afa pi sheyish bedardurin yayin shezav mi'anavim shem shebahem. So we'll say, and certainly again, and even though there is juice oozing from the grapes themselves, it's fine. So we'll say, so you see here that what? Shulchan Aruch essentially paskins like Rav Kahana. Lechatchila, we would like to avoid having the Akum transport the grapes to the press. Lechatchila. We'd like to avoid that. I will say, why? Is it aser? It's not aser, it's just a chumrah. It's another chumrah in the realm of Yayin Nesach. But if the Akum did transport it, it's totally mutter. Now the Shulchan Aruch gives an interesting caveat. The Yisrael Misayeh La'ovid Kochavim Mizrikas Lagat. If the Yisrael Rabosai helps the Ovid Kochavim transfer the grapes into the press, mutter afilu lechatchila. So we'll say what's interesting about this is as follows. Apparently, Rav Kahana's Chumra Bosai is not just simply in the transport. Rav Kahana's Chumra is really in the transport and the dumping of the grapes into the press. The transport is only part of it. It's the act of really transferring the grapes, I guess, from the receptacles into the press that is the real issue. Because at that point in time, the Akum is coming in contact with grape juice that's going into the press. So Rav Kahana says, Lechatchila, don't do it. B'di'aved, it's fine. But says the Shulchan Aruch, if the Yisrael is helping with the transfer of the grapes into the press, it was like, not the schlepping, Right? Of course not the schlepping. Right? Because of the schlepping. You get a guy for that. Right? So we'll say, so again, remember, assuming that the Akum is doing the schlepping, but I'm going ahead in what? I'm helping him to transfer the grapes into the press, then the Shulchan Aruch says, that's mutar l'chatchila. That's mutar l'chatchila. So I can have the Akum schlep l'chatchila. I should go ahead and help him with the transfer of the grapes into the press l'chatchila. But b'dieved, even if he transfers the grapes into the press himself, it's totally mutar as well. Good. So we'll say, let's go back there. Another very, these are all great cases. Listen to this one. Third line down from the top, we'll say, New Testament days. We'll say, watch this. An Akum's Esrog fell into a Jewish barrel of wine. Now we'll say, again, we say it's Esrog. This is not the guy like who's learning Yiddish. He has an Esrog. You know, I guarantee you he didn't pay like $100 for it, right? He paid like $2.70. But but at the end of the day, he has his Esrog, and he drops his Esrog. His Esrog falls into a barrel of Jewish wine. Jewish-owned wine. So we'll say, Ha'hua Esrog, this is amazing. There was an Esrog, ultimately again, that went ahead and fell into the Jewish barrel of wine. So we'll say, Idre Ovdei Kochavim V'Shaklei. So what happens? Look at Rashi. Idre Ovdei Kochavim Kafat V'Achsa B'Sochayan Shlo Tishka. So what happens? Yaakov sees his Esrog. He plunges his hand into the barrel. But for what purpose? For what purpose? To get his Esrog. Right? So he wants to grab his Esrog before it sinks to the bottom. So we'll say, what's the Shaila? So now, what about my wine? Right? What about the wine? What's the status of the wine? And now there's an Akum's hand in the wine. What is the status of the wine? So Amar Lehu Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, okay, there's a simple approach to this. Literally, Naktua Liadei. Which Abba say literally means grab hold of the Akum's hand. Meaning after he grabs his Esrog, you grab his hand. Kihechi telo l'shach sheikh bey. We'll say, in order that what? Remember again, interesting enough, as we've seen, the wine only becomes, we're going to have to, again, we have never fully finalized this point, but apparently an Akum only makes yainesach when he agitates the wine, when he moves around the wine. So he has his hand in the wine, he's grabbing his Esrog. That by itself is finable, say, because remember, that goes back to what we learned yesterday, that an Akum doesn't make wine yayinesech when he's misasek. In other words, if his intention is not to go ahead and touch the wine, but his intention ultimately is for something else, that does not create yayinesech. Therefore, again, in this case, it's clear his intention isn't to touch the wine, his intention is to grab his esrog. So far we're fine. The issue is going to be, once his hand is in there, will he have intention and agitate the wine for Avodah Zarah purposes? Therefore, we'll say, grab his hand, and prevent him from moving around in the wine. Now, we'll say, that's step one. What's step two? Ubirtsua ad de shaifa. We'll say, look at Rashi over here. Birtsua l'chavisa, Rashi is a little bit different girsa. Birtsua ad de shaifa, Rashi says over here, Kim kafu achavis litzad echad, and she yishpach yenach lesoch kliacher, she moshe chayayim in a ovid kochavim va achakach yotziena, utehe muteres bano hachavis, te chosman she yodo tchuva biyayin im yotziena, I efshe lishmor shle yishachshich, va af agav shanu ochsin es yados. We'll say, this is amazing. So Gemara says, then what should you do? Drain the barrel, up to the point where the Akum's hand has reached in. So in other words, Rashi says over here that essentially tilt the barrel and pour off the wine to the depth that the Akum's hand was in. To the depth that, so others have a different girsa, which is, we'll say in the next sugya, probably in tomorrow's daf, that often the way these barrels worked was there was a spigot on the bottom. So the other possibility is just open the spigot and let the wine drain down. But we'll just go with Rashi's simple idea. Tilt the barrel and take off the wine in the barrel up until the Akum's hand. And we'll say, now that wine that you take out, ultimately, again, will be mutter ba'ano as well, just aser b'shtia, mutter ba'ano. But like this, again, what we're concerned about is, even if you're holding the Akum's hand over here, when he removes his hand, can you really be absolutely certain that he's not going to be Meshach Sheikh? So because you can't control it in totality, keep him in place, right? Drain the wine, that essentially the area of the wine, or the level of the wine, which his hand was submerged. You can get Hana from that little bit. You can't drink it, but just sell it off. And the rest of the barrel is absolutely permitted. So Moses says, the Shaif Rashi says, so Moses says, listen to this. So this is amazing. Shulchan Aruch discusses this case. Moses says, what happens if an Akum puts his hand in the barrel of wine for a Jew? The Ramah says, Lito Mishum Davar Shenafal Sham. So the Ramah comments, what are we talking about over here? He puts his hand in the barrel, Bosei, for the purpose of getting something that he lost. Bosei is very important. So the idea of he's not just stamp touching it, it's clear that he put his hand in the barrel for a specific purpose to retrieve a lost item. V'tafsu yado kodim shiyotzien velo yinida, and you grab his hand before he can pull it out and before he can move around. Upaschu achavis milamata. See, the Shulchan Aruch adapts a different girsa. Shulchan Aruch says, and you open the spigot from the bottom. Achiyetze hayayin v'yered lamata miyado, until the wine level goes down. So also the interesting part about the Shulchan Aruch's girsa is, see in Rashi's girsa, if you're pouring off from the top of the barrel, then what? You're pouring off the wine that the Akum went ahead and touched. In the Shulchan Aruch's model, what you're essentially doing is, you're not going to get drinking benefit from that area of wine. I don't mean actual area, from that amount of wine that the Akum touched, even though it's clearly not the same wine, because you take it from the bottom of the barrel. The idea is you shouldn't drink that wine. Actually, mutar b'ana. So we'll say it's also interesting that it could very well be what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is as follows, which is, if essentially you drain the barrel below the hand, that way what? You could let him take his hand out by itself, and there's no concern that he's going to go ahead and be Meshach Sheikh. So it seems to be, again, there's two different possibilities operating over here. Either A, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour off from the top of the barrel and go ahead and not drink that bit of wine, but sell it off, get on off from it. Or I'm going to go ahead and drain the barrel so that this way again, not drain it totally, but just drain it below his hand level. This way again, what? This way I can actually get Hanoah and Shtiyah even from the entire barrel. I just prevent ultimately again the Akav from being Meshach Sheikh Bayayin as he takes out his hand. Okay, but Aloch the Maaseh, once again, I want to be clear. This is a very specific case where it's clear, circumstantially, that he is putting his hand in the barrel for absolutely no Avodah Zarah purposes. He's getting in there ultimately to retrieve his lost object. The concern is, once he's there, is he going to be Meshach Sheikh? And Rabbi said, remember again, this goes back to the Shulchan Aruch we saw yesterday, which is that the touching of the wine is only problematic if it conforms to three conditions. Number one, that he has kavanah to touch the wine. Number two, ultimately, that he knows that it's wine. And number three, shelo yehe osek b'davar acher, that he not be actively involved in something else. This is the example of the case where he's actively involved in something else, i.e. the retrieval of his esrog. That's why, again, the wine is, assuming that you're able to pour it off, will ultimately remain permitted. So the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, hay oved kuchav dinaschei l'chamra d'yisra b'kavana. We'll say, this is a great daf of Gemara. So Ravashi says as follows, hay oved kuchav dinaschei l'chamra d'yisra b'kavana. We'll say, here we go. Now this is probably a paradigmatic case. Oved kuchav touches the wine. And we'll say, why does he touch the wine? Again, there's no doubt about it. He bekavana. Bekavana, we'll say, bekavana means what? Avodizara. Right? Right, the Akum next door goes in, comes to my barrel, touches the barrel, and ma mishinni muchan umezuman. Right? He puts on his gargle, washes his hands, right? He puts on the holding inni muchan umezuman. I'm gonna go ahead and dafka, this is for Avodizara. So we'll say, so what happens? So now again, this is a clear, unequivocal case, a problematic case. So we'll say, so now again, this wine is aser b'shtia, aser, forget about shtia, aser b'ana. This is yayin nesach. So we'll say, so what happens? So therefore the Gemara says, because it's aser b'ana, we'll say, afagav, dilezabun ve'ovikucham machmina aser. So we'll say, now obviously I can't sell that wine. See, I'm stuck. I can't sell that wine even to another ovikuchavim. However, watch this. Sharile lemishkil damea me'ahu ovikuchavim. I am permitted, Rabbosai, to take money from the Ovid Kochavim who made my wine into Yayin Nesach. So we'll say, what did the Gemara just said? This wine is now Yayin Nesach. What can't I do? I can't sell the wine to an akum. I can't sell the wine to someone else. Because they both say, that's called getting hana. What can I do? I can go ahead and sell the wine to the very akum who made it yayin nesach. Right? So I can sell it to the person who mamish made it yayin nesach. So Rav said, look at Rashi just a moment. Look at Rashi. So actually, my timer, what's the reason? Let me just read this next line. My timer, mikla kalya. Because Rav said it's considered to be like damages. Mikla kalya means it's as if he destroyed the wine. Now, what's happening over here? Look at Rashi just a moment. The mishkal dav me'ahu ovi kocham shari. Rashi says it's right across in Rashi. The lav mecharu. Because Rabbi said, when I quote unquote sell it to the akum who made it into yayin esech, it's not considered to be like a sale. The eno nene midme yayin esech, and it's not considered as if I'm benefiting from the value of yayin esech. Why? Ela omer lo. I say to that akum, shafachta yeini. We'll say, what happens if the akum came over and knocked over my barrel of wine? He knocked over my barrel of wine and all the contents spilled out. We'll say, what's that locha? He owes me damages. He owes me damages. So therefore, the Gemara suggests over here, Rabbi Osai, that as much as I can sell the barrel to another Akum, I can go ahead and recapture the cost of the barrel from the Akum in Yayin Nesach. Rabbi Osai, not Petoras Mecher. It's not a sale. Rabbi Osai, what is it? What is it? It's damages. It's damages. I can go ahead and recoup the amount of the barrel als damages. Ela Omer, I'm sorry?
You can take it in the base
then? You could take it in the base then. It depends again. Everything. Don't get hung up on the logistics of collection. That's not what's important over here. What's important over here is his ability to collect for damages. And we'll say again, essentially the money I collect from that akum, collection is going to be a different issue. How you're going to get it is a separate discussion. But lamaisa, again, I could recapture the value of the barrel, not betoras mecher, not as a sale, but ultimately again as damages. So Rashi says over here, omelo shafakti yeni va'avaritomi meni udimei yayin kosher kashakil. And ultimately again, we'll say, remember, when it comes to damages, so remember, damages is often assessed at replacement value. So now again, we look at the amount of money that it would take to replace this barrel, and I could collect that amount of money from the akum who made it into Yayin Nesach. Again, I can't sell it to anyone else, because selling it to anyone else is quote unquote the sale. Sale is called benefit that I can't get from Yayin Nesach. But to go ahead and recapture damages, you'll also remember again, halacha, damages are restorative. Right, the goal of damages is just to put me back where I was ultimately again before the act of damage. That is not considered to be hana, and therefore I could recapture that. Amarav, so Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara says, Amarav Ashi Minami Nala, from where do I know this? From where do I know that indeed this is the halacha? The Sanyo. Because also we learned the following in the Braisa. Oved kochavim shenas achino shayisra shalom b'fnei avodas kochavim aser. We'll say, if an Oved kochavim literally again made the wine of a Jew, yayin nesach, but did so not in the presence of the Akum Zavodah Zarah, the wine is still aser. So even though again I'm making it Yayin Nesach, the Akum is making Yayin Nesach, not in the presence of his Zavodah Zarah, it's still aser. V'Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Matirin, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say that it's mutter for two reasons. Mishum Shnei Dvarim, Echad Shein Menaschin Yayin Ela B'Fnei Avodas Kochavim. One Rabbi says because in general we say that an Akum only makes his wine Yayin Nesach in front of his idolatry. The echad sheomer lo, and what's the other reason is we say lo kol hemenach shete aser yayin laon si, that the Jew could say back to the akum, what? I don't believe you that you made into yayin esach. In other words, why should you be believed to say that you made into yayin esach? Ultimately, again, at my law. So both say, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira saying that Me'ikra Din, when an Akum makes Jewish wine into Yayin Nesach, not in the presence of the Oved Kochavim, both say there are two reasons ultimately, again, to permit the wine. Number one, because in general, Oved Kochavim only make their wine into Yayin Nesach in the presence of their idols. And number two, because the Jew could say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You are not believed. Ultimately, again, to go ahead and aser my wine on me. Now, say, now look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says over here, lo kolei banach, afagav glosirol kavasai lahatirol limkolovikham. Also, listen to this. Now, we don't really accept these positions of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. In other words, we paskin ultimately what? We paskin that Ovi Kochavim doesn't make wine into Yayin Esech, even not in the presence of his Avodah Zarah. We also say that what? The Ovi Kochavim is believed. He'll say yes, when the Ovi Kochavim says, by the way, I made you wine into Yayin Esech, have a great day. He is believed ultimately to say that. He is believed. So he'll say, see, even though we actually don't accept the positions of these two Rabbi Yehudas, what we do is, we accept them to the point that we can be makel to recapture damages from the Akum who made the wine into Yayin Nesach. I can't sell the wine to anyone else, but I could use these two positions ultimately to be makel enough to allow me to recapture the damages from the Akum into Yayin Nesach. Rashi says over here, even though we don't accept the views of the two Rabbi Yehudas to allow me to go ahead and sell to another Akum, nevertheless, so we'll say, so essentially what the Gemara says over here, what Rav Ashi says over here, is that even though Me'ikar Adin, we don't accept the views of the two Rav Yehudas, nevertheless he will accept them together, ultimately to allow us to be a little bit more makel, and that the Jew could collect not hana, not the meimecher, not the value of a sale from the Akumidian to Yayin Esech, but at least damages. So we'll say, this is obviously a very important halacha. How do we pass an halacha? So we'll listen to this. Shulchan Aruch paskins, Kuf Lamed Yardeh, Kuf Lamed Beis Sif Aleph, Ovid Kochavim Shenaga B'Yayin Shelanu. So we'll say, if an Akum went ahead and touched our wine, Afa Pisha Aser Bana, ultimately, even though the wine is Aser Bana because it's Yayin Esech, Mutter Likach Damav Me'osu Ovid Kochavim Sha'oser. Ultimately, again, so we'll say, the halacha is, you are permitted to recapture the cost of the wine from the Ovid Kochavim who touched it. So the Shulchan Aruch says, oh, he gives a couple of other variations. We'll say, bottom line, halacha ma'aseh is a very important caveat to these halachas. Even though we've established that Yayin Esech is Asur Ba'anah means you can't sell to anyone else. But halacha ma'aseh, you can recapture the cost of the barrel that has become Yayin Esech from the Ovid Kochavim, who made it Yayin Esech. We'll say, not because why? Those monies are not categorized as a sale, but rather, again, those monies are categorized as damages. Hanoa means I can't sell it and benefit from the sale, but I can recapture the value of the damaged item from the Akum who did the act of damage. All right, we'll stop over here. Pick up Emirat Hashem here tomorrow. Yeah, correct. Correct, absolutely.